Item 1382, authorized settlement in the sum of $10 million in the Anderson et al. v. City of Portland lawsuit in regards to certain expenditures from the water and sewer funds.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, we've invited Senior Attorney Karen Moynihan and our Chief Financial Officer Ken Rust to come this morning and to give us a comprehensive briefing on the matter before us, answer your questions, and we'll take it from there. So let me introduce Karen and also just say as someone who has spent more time than is who has spent a lot of time on this particular issue, it has been an absolute pleasure working with the City Attorney's Office, and in particular to be guided as skillfully as we have been by Karen. So welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. I'm Karen Moynihan, and I'm the Senior Deputy City Attorney assigned to advise the City on matters related to the Portland Water Bureau. I'm here today to provide you with the information that you need to decide whether to adopt the ordinance that authorizes the settlement of the Anderson v. City of Portland litigation, otherwise known as the ratepayer lawsuit. I will begin by explaining to you how this lawsuit arose and the legal issues that were brought before the court. Next, I will walk you through the legal proceedings in Multnomah County Circuit Court that culminated in the judge's June 30th, 2017 ruling. Finally, I will walk you through the nuts and bolts of the settlement agreement that is before you today, and I will explain to you why the City Attorney's Office and the Chief Financial Officer recommend that you approve this settlement. In December of 2011, three ratepayers and a ratepayer organization sued the city, claiming that City Council had improperly spent water and sewer funds on 26 programs or activities that were alleged to be unrelated to the provision of water and sewer services. Their challenges to the Water Bureau expenditures included the Bull Run cabins and house, operation of the decorative fountains, assistance to the residents of New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina under a mutual aid agreement, and construction of Powell Butte amenities required by the 2003 Conditional Use Master Plan. Also, upgrades to Dodge Park and basic amenities at city-owned water tank sites or hydroparks. Most of the challenged Water Bureau expenditures were first incurred between 2003 and 2005. Plaintiffs also challenged expenditures made by the Bureau of Environmental Services, such as for land acquisitions to assist in stormwater control, invasive species control, and most significantly, for costs related to the city's investigation of the Portland Harbor Superfund site. The City Attorney's Office initially estimated the value of all the challenged expenditures to exceed $120 million, nearly half of which was attributable to the Portland Harbor Superfund site. The legal issue before Judge Stephen Bouchong of the Multnomah County Circuit Court was whether the Portland City Charter authorized Council's decisions to spend ratepayer funds on the challenged activities and programs. In a threshold decision of March 2014, Judge Bouchong ruled that to be authorized by the city charter, an expenditure had to be reasonably related to the provision of water and sewer services. The city, of course, agrees with that portion of the decision. However, in the same opinion, the judge also ruled on what is referred to as the standard of review, deciding that it's the court and not city council that makes determination as to whether an expenditure is reasonably related to the provision of water and sewer services. Now, that standard is problematic for the city because it's city council that sits as the decision maker regarding how ratepayer funds will be expended, not the court. Council must have the ability and the confidence to review a proposed expenditure, such as the proposed filtration plant, and decide whether it is a sound and logical investment of ratepayer funds. Therefore, the city's position regarding the standard of review is that the court has the jurisdiction to review an expenditure ratepayer funds to determine whether city council has abused its discretion, but not to make its own determination as to whether the expenditure was reasonably related to the provision of water and sewer services. That's council's job, not the court's. Between 2014 and 2016, the court issued numerous opinions regarding the challenged expenditures, and the parties came to agreements regarding others. Ultimately, the court ruled in the city's favor on all but seven challenged expenditures: public campaign financing, Portland Luz, Hurricane Katrina aid, Dodge Park amenities, hydro parks, BES parks pass-through costs, and certain expenditures at Powell Butte. Significantly, the court ruled that the city's expenditure of ratepayer funds to investigate the Portland Harbor Superfund site was authorized by the city charter. In June 2017, after a remedy trial on the costs of the disallowed expenditures, Judge Bouchon ruled that $17 million was not authorized by the Portland City Charter and ordered the city to reimburse the ratepayer funds accordingly. A final judgment has not yet been entered at the party's request. Council is being asked today to adopt an ordinance that would authorize Mayor Wheeler to sign a settlement agreement with the plaintiffs. The agreement requires the city to pay plaintiffs' legal counsel $3 million from general fund sources by December 29, 2017. Additionally, by September 30, 2019, the city must reimburse the water fund $5.5 million and the sewer fund $1.5 million, also from general fund sources. Finally, it provides that the lawsuit will be dismissed with prejudice, meaning that these plaintiffs cannot bring these claims back again before the court in the future. The city attorney's office recommends that council adopt this ordinance and approve the settlement agreement. We think that it is a good, fair settlement for several reasons. First, it reduces the total award from $17 million to $10 million. Second, it dismisses the case without a final judgment, which would enshrine the judge's ruling on the standard of review. While another Multnomah County judge would likely look to Judge Bouchon's decision for guidance should a similar lawsuit be filed by another party, there would be no legal precedent stating that a circuit court judge and not city council gets to decide whether an expenditure of ratepayer funds is reasonably related to the provision of water and sewer services. Third, this settlement brings finality. An appeal presents risks to both the plaintiffs and the city. Additionally, on appeal, the $17 million judgment would be subject to the 9% statutory interest rate per annum, greatly increasing the city's potential liability. I'd like to address a final matter that is surely weighing on your minds: the payment of attorney fees to the Davis Wright Tremaine Law Firm. The city attorney's office recommends the payment of $3 million in attorney's fees because it is consistent with standard attorney fee awards. In most contingency or class action lawsuits where attorneys litigate a matter at substantial risk to their law firm's finances, attorneys recoup at least one-third of the court's award. Therefore, a $3 million fee award on a $10 million settlement is entirely consistent with, if not slightly less than, a standard contingency fee award. Additionally, this lawsuit was filed as a common fund lawsuit. Under the common fund doctrine, an attorney who brings a case that results in the payment of funds to benefit members of the public who are not paying for the attorney's services is entitled to recoup his or her fees from the award. In this instance, the court awarded $17 million as unauthorized expenditures to be reimbursed to the water and sewer funds. We are confident that plaintiff's attorneys would have been awarded at least this amount in fees out of the $17 million award had this matter remained before the circuit court. Therefore, the city attorney's office recommends that you authorize the settlement. And now I'll turn the presentation over to Mr. Ken Rust.
Karen, before you do that, I just want to, you know, and I'll have more to say on this shortly, I want to thank you for the presentation. This has been a very complicated multi-year process. and you just boiled it down into about 5 minutes in a manner that people can easily understand what the decision points were and why you recommended and why your office recommends what you are recommending to the council. I think you've set a good standard, and I just want to call that out for future presentations on complex issues. This is a textbook example, in my opinion, of how to do it correctly. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ken.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council. For the record, I'm Ken Russ, the City's Chief Financial Officer and the Director of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. I've been working with the City Attorney's Office to analyze the financial impacts and risks of various settlement options, including costs and benefits of appealing the Circuit Court's decision. Based on this analysis, it is my opinion that the settlement agreement that you are considering today is prudent, cost-effective, and is in the City's best financial interest. I've also been working with Andrew Scott in the City Budget Office to develop options for making the required settlement payments. By managing general fund contingency, the CBO believes that the initial $3 million payment can be made without budget disruption this fiscal year. The remaining payments to the water and sewer funds can be made in one or more installment payments by the required due date of September 30th, 2019. The settlement agreement provides the city with sufficient flexibility to structure these payments using one-time general fund resources or borrowed funds repaid by the general fund. CBO will be developing appropriate options for your consideration during the fiscal year 2018-19 budget process. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the financial aspects of the settlement.
I probably later will have a question for the City Budget Office regarding, you just said about the one-time funds being used for this purpose. I'm hoping that we would start with 50% of the one-time funding being used for maintenance in transportation, parks, and emergency management before, and then so that the remainder of the money would come out of the other half of the one-time. So,
Commissioner, can I address that for a second?
Yes, please.
I would not support any change to the FRITS policy that we apply to unanticipated surpluses in our bumps or our budget. And in addition, as the CFO alluded, one of the options is to borrow from a fund, which we have done in the past. We can do inter-fund borrowing at extremely favorable interest rates of under 2%. And that might be an option that the CFO recommends. But I would not support any change to our normal budget practices. And if it turns out that we really do have a down year and scarce resources are needed for other purposes, it is my understanding that the CFO and the budget office will give us a number of options which we can consider in terms of how we meet the payments.
Thank you. That's helpful clarification.
Very good. Public testimony.
We have two people signed up, Joe Walsh and Shedrick Wilkins.
And Lightning.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. You guys are so funny with this money, you know, and that's what it's like to you. It's funny money. This is a $10 million screw-up from this council who voted for all this stuff to the city attorney who has 40 lawyers that don't know what the hell they're doing because they took it to court and lost their butt. It's a $10 million indictment of this council. You have to borrow it. My God. Who's being held responsible? Commissioner Fish, you aren't here. You're off, Mayor. You aren't here. You're off, Udaly. But you were. Oh. Amanda, you were.
Campaign?
Because I remember this. I remember us arguing this. And now you're stuck for $10 million. $3 million lawyer fees. And that's the going rate. No wonder all the lawyers are millionaires. Jesus. $3 million. I asked you, Mayor, for a raise 6 times. And you keep saying no. but you got all these millions of dollars to give to Mr. Fish, Commissioner Fish. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Fish, Commissioner Fish. Are the ratepayers going to be reimbursed? Or are you just going to use that for some other project that somebody's going to come along and say, that's illegal, you can't do that? This council should hang their head in shame. But I swear to God, you are so funny. You compliment the presentation of costing you $10 million. No, not costing you. It's the people out there. The people that are listening to this. Sooner or later, they're going to rise up, Mayor, and say to you, somebody's got to be held responsible. I want someone's head symbolically on the table. Who did this?
Randy.
Who decided this stuff, Randy. Commissioner Fish? Who decided this, to do this, to use this money illegally? And that's what you did. And you sit there and you praise the presentations. You're so funny, Mayor. You make me laugh. Sometimes I'm on the bus, and I think of what you say and do, and I just laugh. I just say, my God, doesn't this guy have a brain? Thank you for your time. You're so funny.
Hi, I'm Cedric Wilkins, and my thing is, I feel 3 months ago or something, there was a thing here about water. People in Portland are very sensitive in this area about water. And I'll say it this way, that I was surprised that Scott Fernandez, who wanted to keep the reservoirs open, was against any kind of filtration system. I think this lawsuit is a way of telling Commissioner Fish not to spend a lot of money on a filtration system and just to keep the cost of the water low. Another thing, I was really quite surprised, but it was exciting. In 2012, the council voted to fluoridate the water, which I feel...
Please don't say that. Please don't raise that issue again.
Anyway, most states fluoridate the water. Practically 90% of all cities in this... I talked to a lot of people that came from California that didn't like that. Los Angeles fluoridated the water in 1990, and they came up here to live here. We're very sensitive about water. And all good intentions, I actually voted for fluoridating the water, but it was trounced. And people don't want anything added, but this is all good intentions. And all the programs that you were sued for have good intentions. But people don't want to pay for it. They want the water here cheap. In fact, I went to a pub yesterday, too, and found out that people want to mix water with the Columbia water, even though some people claim it has radon. But that's not the point. If you mix it with Columbia water, it'll still be cheap and unfiltered. And the burden of you is to drink bottled water or whatever. And it's just the way Oregon is. They want cheap water from the Columbia River, from Bull Run, to water their gardens, and it's up to them whether it's not pure.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. The city charter says the fees Water Bureau customers pay are for water-related services. Very straightforward, very simple. Somebody missed big time on this, and I hate to say this to my good friends, the attorneys that control the whole fourth floor. How did you ever miss this? How did you ever allow somebody to fund the Luz, to fund Dodge Park, to fund campaign typhoon, all these different things that a judge even looked at and came back, you at the very least owe about $17 million. Now, again to you, John DiLorenzo, and I know you're listening, my good buddy, and I have friends that went to school with you, and they respect you a lot, so let me say this to you again. Have yourself a very happy new year, my friend. And enjoy yourself because you've earned it, my friend. $3 million. Outstanding work for improper use of funds. Here's my problem to you, Mr. DiLorenzo. You want to settle this before going after the full $17 million. My question to you, and I'll ask you this since you're listening very close. How do we get E&O insurance to pay for this that the city has in place? We have to go forward. There has to be more guilt admitted. As you know, in this agreement, the city is not going to admit any guilt. I want to have guilt admitted. I want to look at the E&O insurance. I want to have that $3 million paid to you by some insurance policy. I want to have that additional money paid to you, my good friend, at your high-level law firm, to be paid with insurance funds. I do not want anything coming out of the general fund. If you truly believe, Mr. DiLorenzo, in taking care of the people of this city, which I know you do, because I know people that know you quite well, then get somebody to admit guilt, focus on the E&O insurance policies, take them back into court, go for the full $17 million, and stick it to these son of a bitches who ripped us off. And I am glad to get up today and am so angry at these people who think they can spend these funds improper and not go to jail. And Randy Leonard, my friend, Randy, we're coming for you. We're going to get you, Randy. And remember, those loos, whenever I push that button, Randy Leonard, I think of you, you corrupt son of a bitch. Go to hell, Leonard.
So, Mayor,
I'm out of here.
Okay.
This is appalling to me.
Issue has generated some passion. Can I have the city attorney come back for a second?
You bet, sir.
I think it would be beneficial. Karen, can you come back for a second?
Commissioner Fish, you had a question.
Karen, a number of questions were raised in the testimony, which I think it's useful to give you a chance to respond. One question was, when did the bulk of these claims arise? Could you just clarify that again?
Certainly, Commissioner. The Water Bureau expenditures, actually all of the expenditures, arose, most of them, between 2003 and 2005.
Okay.
Some of them actually a bit earlier.
I think, stipulate for the record that no member of this body here today was serving between 2003 and 2005. That doesn't resolve any responsibility we have for addressing and resolving the problem, but I thank you for that clarification. Number two, you said in your opening remarks that the total value of the claims was around $120 million, and that if the plaintiffs had been successful in all of them. And it's my understanding that is premised on the fact that the about half or more would have been related to Superfund. Is that correct?
That's correct, Commissioner.
Okay. Had this case gone on appeal, and I know there are issues that both the plaintiff's counsel and the city attorney's office had with this, what would have been the options for a review in court?
Commissioner, the options would have been, had we appealed, I'll just back up a little bit, had we appealed, plaintiffs indicated they also would have appealed. So both parties would have been appealing the court's standard of review. Plaintiffs had argued early on in this case and maintained the position that the standard of review should actually be that an expenditure's primary purpose must be for the provision of water and sewer services. To our interpretation, that means we could have spent money on a pipe, could have spent money on treatment works. But so many of the items that truly are reasonably related to the provision of water and sewer services would have been in question with that standard of review. Both parties would have appealed. The options would have been that Judge Bouchon's decision could have been overruled in the plaintiff's favor. I don't believe that there was a great chance of that. But in that scenario, then there would have been many, many more items that we would have been at risk for losing in that. Judge Bouchon's decision, if it were reversed in the city's favor, of course, we could have had, I believe, almost total vindication, if not total. But realistically, Judge Bouchon is a very well-respected jurist. He is now going to start as the chief presiding judge in Multnomah County Circuit Court starting on January 1st. And a decision from Judge Bouchon that it was a reasoned decision. It would have been a very tough battle to have that overturned by the Court of Appeals. So in summary, we believe the risk would have been that the $17 million would have been accruing per annum at 9%. Additionally, the attorney's fees would have increased because opposing counsel would have been litigating through the Court of Appeals process.
And so just to put a bow on this, both sides had something at risk if there was an appeal, and that's what then created the context for a settlement.
Absolutely.
Colleagues, I will say that while today's not the day to cherry pick any part of the rulings and to argue the case, and as our attorney has noted, Judge Bushong will be the presiding judge of Multnomah County and is highly regarded. She did say in her prepared testimony that as a general matter, the city attorney believes that it's the city council's job and not a court acting as a special master to decide under the charter how we expend money. And there was one example in all the litigation that I think illustrated that. And again, reasonable people can agree or disagree, and I'm not re-arguing the case. But one of the claims that the judge ruled in favor of plaintiffs was a program we had, which was a mutual aid agreement with the city of New Orleans. And it was related to Katrina. And we have mutual aid agreements with other cities. And what happens when there's an emergency is that we agree to send some of our people to go help another city. And under that mutual aid agreement, they in turn agree that if we are in the same situation, they will send first responders to our city. It is largely funded and reimbursed by FEMA, but there's always going to be a little shortfall. It was the view of the city, and people can agree or disagree with this, I'm not relitigating the case, that we should have those mutual aid agreements with other cities, that if we ever have an emergency, we want to have Water Bureau professionals from other cities coming here. And we thought that the training that our employees get by being involved in those emergency situations becomes invaluable in addressing ours. Now, let's just say that you agree or disagree with that proposition. The point that Karen made earlier is that for the council to decide or for a judge? And that's a philosophical question underlying this case and on a number of these claims. And I think that's important context for people to think about, because I suspect people will have varying opinions on that subject. Thank you, Karen. That concludes our presentation.
Very good. And we're going to call the roll. I'd like to suspend the rules. Commissioner Fish had requested the opportunity to go first, and I certainly support that unless anybody has any objections.
Thank you. Mayor and colleagues and members of the public who are present today, I inherited both utility bureaus 5.5 years ago. I was the first commissioner since Dan Saltzman to lead both of them. I think there's a logic behind this pairing, since, after all, we send a combined water, sewer, and stormwater bill to our customers. So having one commissioner in charge of both utilities, I think, has some logic. When I took over, the Water Bureau in particular was generating significant controversy. In my first year, we witnessed a ballot measure, 26-156, that sought to strip the city of the utilities and to create an independent water district. We witnessed continued challenges to federal regulations like LT2 that had an impact on our historic reservoirs. And of course, there was ongoing concerns about the use of ratepayer funds. 5.5 years later, I think it's fair to say we've made significant progress. We have new leadership at both bureaus. We've sharpened our focus on basic services and spending ratepayer dollars wisely. The proposed water district was defeated in May of 2014 by 72% of the vote. We worked with the community on a path forward for both Mount Tabor and the Washington Park reservoirs, embracing community-led visions. We appointed a Blue Ribbon Commission chaired by former U.S. Attorney Dwight Holton, which led to the creation of the Portland Utility Board, a strong and independent oversight body with dedicated staff. We forged the first ever partnership between a city and the Oregon Citizens Utility Board, adding additional oversight.
Now, recently, the council made a historic decision to protect the Bull Run watershed for the next 100 years by choosing to filter our water. And just this week, the city and the Oregon Health Authority entered into a binding regulatory agreement that will give us 10 years to build that filtration facility. So you could say that today we close out the last chapter of the water wars. Both the city and attorney and the CFO recommend that we accept the proposed settlement, which represents a fraction of the original claims asserted by the plaintiffs. Significantly, because this case will be dismissed with prejudice, it preserves our understanding of what the charter does and does not provide. We continue to believe that the city council and not a judge is best suited to make decisions about our utilities. But by accepting this settlement, we're turning the page and we're moving forward. I have a number of people I want to thank. Sonia Schmansky and Todd Lofgren, my team. Tracy Reeve, Karen Moynihan, and the outstanding folks who work in the city attorney's office. Ken Rust, our CFO, who played an invaluable role in assessing settlement options. Mike Stewart, Water Bureau Director, Gabe Salmer, and the many Bureau staff members who worked tirelessly throughout this process. Although some may view this settlement as anticlimactic, the lawsuit has had a positive effect in refocusing city leadership on the core mission of the utilities. And today, I vote aye.
Udaly.
Thank you for all your work on this, and thank you for calling the attorney back up to clarify some of the misinformation that was shared through public testimony. It's unfortunate that those people didn't stay here to get their questions answered or their beliefs corrected. Mm-hmm. Of course, no one's thrilled about $3 million going to attorney's fees, but it certainly could have been a lot worse. And the $7 million is going to be reinvested in our city. So glad that this has come to a conclusion after however many years it's been. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, congratulations and thank you, Commissioner Fish, for reaching this settlement and more particularly for restoring the public's trust in the utility bureaus. It's been absolutely phenomenal, the turnaround. 6 years ago, a hearing like this would have had both of the chambers packed and an overflow cloud and many other angry people. Thanks to you, as you mentioned, the Water District was defeated. Thanks also to community activist Bob Salinger, who was your partner in that campaign. And again, is restoring the community confidence that we work together on these difficult issues. I will also note, which Commissioner Fish modestly didn't, that he was re-elected in May of 2014 with a 73% of the vote. So some of those who testified said that people need to be held accountable. To me, that was a resounding vote of confidence from the voters in your leadership of the utility bureaus. And so I think that question is answered. By reaching this settlement, there is no record of decision, so that restores the council's authority to determine what is the appropriate use of utility rates. There were abuses in the past, no question, by people who are no longer on the council, but there were also legitimate policy decisions by council on appropriate use of rates, and I look forward to having those conversations in upcoming budget discussions because I think we've now gone to the other extreme, that we spend scarce general fund resources on things which are properly related to stormwater management, water quality, and provision of fresh drinking water. So I'm hoping to have that. I will note that one of the reasons I'm saying so much is because I was encouraged to hear that my comments when the city purchased Riverview for $11.25 million, including $6 million of ratepayer money, it was partly due to my comments at that hearing emphasising that the reason it was appropriate to use ratepayer dollars was because of the water quality and wildlife habitat and particularly stormwater management of Riverview's 146 acres, that persuaded the judge that indeed the council was within its authority and that these were properly connected to rates. And sometimes it's really difficult for people to see the connections between the money that they are paying and the purposes that it's put to. And I encourage people to contact the commissioner in charge and ask those questions, because more often than not, there's a really good reason. And when there isn't, it's I always welcome, I know Commissioner Fish does too, when people bring things to our attention that we can address in time to take care of them. So thank you also to retired attorney Terry Thatcher, who has worked on this a very long time, and I'm very grateful to his work as well as others in the city attorney's office. Thanks to my former staffer, Patty Howard, who was the guide for me with the Office of Healthy Working Rivers and many of these expenditures, and also to Tim Crail, my chief of staff. I'm glad that this chapter is closed and we'll be able to start a new one. Aye.
Wheeler.
When I took over as mayor of this city, believe it or not, less than a year ago, one of the first things I did was assign bureaus to commissioners. And Commissioner Fish and I, along with other commissioners, had conversations about which bureaus he would like to take. And he had an opportunity to express his preferences. And I will tell you this, while he did not express a desire to not be the Commissioner of Utilities, there are other bureaus that I think he would have rather had. But I didn't assign him other bureaus. I assigned him the utility bureaus. And the reason I assigned him the utility bureaus was I knew that he was a man of integrity, unimpeachable integrity. He was somebody that the public could trust. And I knew that I, along with this council, was inheriting a huge mess in the form of this lawsuit. And Nick and I spent a lot of time together talking about how do we make this right. We can't go back to the early 2000s and correct some of the missteps that were made on behalf of all of us who are residents here in the city of Portland. But I felt that we had an obligation to extricate ourselves from this mess with the lowest cost and the highest opportunity to the people that we represent. And Nick was the guy who I believed could get that job done amongst all of us. And he's done it. And so nobody's happy with the settlement. I agree with the lawyers. I think it could be worse. I think there was significant risk associated with continuing to fight this. But I have come to the conclusion, as apparently have all of my colleagues, that this is the lowest risk, lowest cost solution that gets this mess behind us and will allow Commissioner Fish or his successor commissioners to do the work that needs to be done in the bureaus. And he's already begun that process, and he has already begun to rebuild that trust and reestablish the integrity that those bureaus rely on from the public that they serve. So I think this is an important day, and I want to thank all of the people who spent so much time and so much energy on this, particularly Commissioner Fish. I mean, nobody runs for public office so that they can sit in that seat and deal with the kind of issues that you've had to deal with on the bureaus. But you've done it to great effect and with
significant
success.
Well, he did run for office. That was good.
And so I'm glad that we are where we are today. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.
Thank you all.